have a personal relationship. Do you understand? We've been going through. God made us to be relational, and He made us to be relational with Him. And I would submit to you that the reason that people are depressed and lonely today, and it's not just a young person thing. The older people, it is an epidemic among the elderly who become depressed, thinking there's no relationship. All the people, I've had many funerals throughout my life. When a younger person dies, there's usually a lot of people at the funeral. When an older person dies, not so many. Why? Because the peers have died. Their parents are gone. Many times brothers and sisters are gone. And so it's a lonely time of life. But God has made us to be relational, and He made us to have a relationship with Him. They go on, says, there's a lot of factors at work here. One of them being that faith communities, can I put churches, provide many opportunities for social encounters. You don't have to have a close friend in the community to get the benefit. Just a feeling that you belong in the group is enough. In addition, now listen to this. This is from Everyday Health, and I don't want to make this our guide. The Bible is our guide. But it's just interesting that the world recognizes that the Word of God is true. They won't say that. In addition, faith can help you accept the things in life you can't control. Let me ask you something. If you thought about percentage-wise, what in your life can you control? It's a very small slice of the pie. It's a very small piece of the puzzle. But to know that we have a God that is in charge and in control. Though we may not understand why or what or how it's going to work out, to know that He's in charge and control, and I have a relationship with Him. Just this week, and someday I'm going to put up the screen and we're going to watch it. I don't know, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, sometime. But I saw this presentation of what the world is in relation to the universe. And they showed how big the sun was. Do you know how big the earth is in comparison? It's just like a little dot compared to this great big ball. And the sun is just a little spot in comparison to other suns. And the universe is just so big. And God has made it. And can I tell you this morning that God looked to this little planet Earth and saw you on this little planet Earth, and He sent His Son to die for those who would believe. That ought to be mind-boggling to you. That ought to be, God has made it possible, the God of the universe, the God of creation, has made it possible that you can have a relationship with them. With Him. God has given us a way to belong to His family, the church. If you're married, He's given you a way to be connected with the broader body of Christ. If you're single, if you're divorced, if you're widowed, if you're a widower, if you're an orphan, or if you're a single child. Now you say, well, I'm not a single child, I'm a child in a big family. Did you know that one of the loneliest places you can be is a child in a big family? Let me just give you a comparison. Some of the most lonely places I've ever been is in a big crowd. No matter who you are this morning, you have the capacity for being lonely. You may be sitting here in this group of people and be lonely. This morning, I want to tell you some bad news first. If you have been lonely or are lonely, that is nothing. Now listen, loneliness is like a black hole. Have you ever been there? Lonely, depressed, discouraged, that black hole you feel like you can't ever get out. Folks, I can't think of a worse thing. But that is nothing compared to the loneliness that faces you after death if you know not Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a quote. Some of you know of Randy Alcorn. Randy wrote a big book, a thick book on heaven. I love it. I recommend it highly. But he said this, some very haunting words. He says, hell will have no community. Hell will have no camaraderie. Hell will have no friendship. Can you imagine solitary confinement for eternity? Alcorn said, misery loves company, but there will be nothing to love in hell. Perhaps we can understand why Dante chose to have a sign chiseled above hell's gate, abandon every hope, you who enter. No hope. My wife, before she was my wife, worked in Toronto, Canada, as a secretary to a real estate firm. And they had, it was a big, powerful, if you go up to Canada, even to this day, 36 years later, you'll see this real estate company all throughout Toronto. And there was a company, I don't know how many people were in this particular office, it was a rather large office, and she was one of the secretaries there. And they would get together and they would talk, and Debbie tried to be a witness and a testimony to them. Most of them took an interest, who wouldn't, in a pretty young girl. So she tried to be a witness to them, and she got an ear and a hearing. And I can still remember her writing me and telling me of one particular gentleman that said, I don't want to go to heaven because all my friends will be in hell, and we're going to have a big party there. There's no parties in hell. There's no friendship in hell. There's no relationships in hell. But I've got good news for you. I told you I was going to give you the bad news first. But I've got good news for you. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it says, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Folks, this morning, we are all sinners in need of saving. There's not one here that has not been in the need of saving or that is not in the need of being saved. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 15 says that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I left off the last part. The Apostle Paul wrote that. And he goes on to say, of whom I am chief. Now if the Apostle Paul had to say that, I think all of us can agree that he's right. The salvation that Jesus offers is a gift. You cannot earn it. You don't deserve it. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift. Whom over here doesn't like to get a gift? The greatest gift in all the world, a relationship with the God of the universe. One who will be your friend through thick and thin. But again, on the flip side, if he's not your friend, it is a terrible thing to fall in the hands of that living God. When we are saved, we are part of a body. We are part of a family. We are part of a community. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's almost like Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12 are twin chapters, and it's easy. I need those kind of hooks to kind of remind me of. But Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 verse 20 says, now are many, you are many members, yet one body. Chapter 12 verse 21, and this is a paraphrase, it says, no member can say to another, I have no need of you. Can you imagine your toes talking to each other and said, I don't need you. Little toe, I don't need you. Big toe, I don't need you. Thumb, I don't need you. You ever hit your thumb and your thumb be incapacitated? Man, it's almost like you're useless from that little thumb. When you stub the toe, the whole body hurts. And God has said there in 1 Corinthians that we are members one of another, and we cannot say, I have no need of you. In fact, if you look at that passage there, it says those that are the less comely, that's the King James Version, but the ones that are the less beautiful are more needful. Are more needful. In verse 26, it says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer. When you hit that thumb, the whole body hurts. When Cindy breaks her wrist, the whole body hurts. And that's in more than one way, and I'm not going to take a long time because we'll talk about this more in the future. But when she's out of commission, who hurts? Her husband, her children, the fellowship here to whom she ministers in a great way. But, you know, I don't know about you, but when somebody tells, I fell and I broke my wrist was there, I hurt. Ooh. We hurt. The Bible tells us that we rejoice with those that rejoice and we weep with those that weep. God has made us to be in community. Sin has brought separation from God and separation from others, but God sent Jesus to put us into a body. He came to pay the price of our sins. He came to give us community not only for the present time, but He came to give us community for all eternity. And no matter how lonely and how hard it gets in this life, folks, we have eternity to look forward to. And eternity is just that, eternity. What is that in comparison with 100 years or 50 years or 75 years or however many years we have? For those that have a relationship with Jesus, we can rejoice in our belonging. Everybody likes to belong. And can I tell you that if you are or have been saved by Jesus Christ, you belong. You belong to the body of Christ. We can rejoice in the community that God has given to us. We can rejoice in that body. We can rejoice in that family. Folks, I rejoice that I'm in the family that I'm in. I thank the Lord for my mom and dad. I thank Him for my brothers and sisters. But if you go and talk to my sister, probably my sisters, and asked, what was it like growing up with Jim? I don't know how flattering it would be. And I know throughout even our grown-up years, we don't always see eye to eye. Sometimes it's hard living in a family, isn't it? I mean, all you got to look, if you've got a wife or a husband sitting back, just look next door and see. Sometimes it's hard. A lot of times it's hard. But can I tell you this morning that which is hard is because of sin in our lives, because of sin separating. Christ came to give us life and to give us life more abundantly. Our text goes on to tell us in Romans chapter 12, and we'll be considering in the days to come that He has gifted us and He has equipped us to minister and to serve one another. The world has given us counterfeit organizations to fulfill the need of community. The world recognizes the need for community. I read you some things concerning what the world says about it. They recognize the need for community. But the community that God has ordained is the church, is the family of God. And that's where our primary efforts ought to be. For those that are outside the body, can I just tell you this morning, just very frankly, God commands you to belong. And if you say no to Him, your sin is very great. God calls you this morning to repent and to believe. He calls you to have a relationship with not only Him, but He has called us to have a relationship with His body. You cannot be a part of Christ if you're not a part of His body. He has called us to be a part of His body. That means you have recognized yourself to be a sinner in need of saving. You cannot. You need to recognize that you cannot save yourself in any way or fashion. This means that you need to recognize that Jesus is the only Savior. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." God Himself sent God Himself, the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, to pay the punishment of our sins. And He did so on the cross 2,000 years ago. And He stands ready to forgive those who sin as we recognize our sin and that He is the only Savior. There's a family waiting for you as well. The family of God. It's called the church. So on Friend Day, I would call you this morning to enter into that relationship that God made you for. That relationship that God made you in His image. That you might have a relationship not only with God for all eternity, but with His people, the church, both now and evermore. The Bible tells us that we are the church militant. That means we're in a battle. We're in a fight. But one day we'll belong to the church triumphant. No more battle. No more war. No more separation. Do you know that you are a part, will be a part of that church triumphant? If not, repent today. Believe the one and only Savior. His name is Jesus. Let us pray. Father, we're thankful that we have that great hope. We're thankful that You love us. We're thankful that You sent Your Son to die for us. And Father, I pray if there's one here today that knows not Jesus Christ, that You would work in their heart. Father, help them to see their sinfulness and help them to repent and believe the gospel that Jesus Christ saves. Father, I pray this morning for those that are perhaps a part of the family of God, a part of Your body, but are lonely, are discouraged. Father, I pray that You, by Your Spirit, would give us a sensitivity to those and that we would come up belong alongside and that we would encourage them. Father, I ask You, we know that sin separates. Father, if there's sin in our lives, if we don't have a love for the brethren as we ought, if we don't recognize that one hurt, when one hurts, we all hurt, Lord, I ask that You'd bring them to repentance. I'll give You the thanks and praise in Jesus' name.